Welcome to this week's edition of Sunday Morning Live from Fresh Fire Church. Today's message from Pastor Adam will encourage and strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, let's join the service.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord.
This is going to be one of my shortest messages at Fresh Fire. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 4. Anybody ever feel like quitting? You can want to quit on life. You can want to quit a job. Come on, you can want to quit a marriage. You can want to quit a friendship. We can even sometimes want to quit church. Come on, if some of us will be honest, there's been times I've even thought about quitting God. There's times we get that thought, and even the enemy will try to cause us to entertain that. And I'll be honest, the moment that I was in the room when Hazel passed, and there were two things that really happened that stuck out to me. And one was I was standing on one side of the bed, and another member of the family was standing on the other. And about 30 minutes before she passed, a tear came down her face. And I got a Kleenex, and I wiped the tear from her eye, and we knew it wouldn't be long, and so we just held her hand and prayed, and I hummed, "What a Day That'll Be." And as the minutes passed and she got ready to just leave the earth, and I knew as her breasts really got in space that I knew this was it. She took her last breath, and both eyes filled with tears, and they streamed down her face. And instantly, the Lord reminded me of this scripture, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. And I thought, I knew why she was crying. Her flesh was saying goodbye. Her body didn't want to leave. Herself didn't want to leave her family and that. But she was ready to meet Jesus. And so, you know, we're torn. And so I instantly thought of this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 that says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Finally, somebody say finally. "Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who loved his appearing." Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. After fighting the good fight, after finishing the race, after keeping the faith, you see, there's a reason you and I can't give up. Hello. There's a reason. Sometimes we do want to quit life. Sometimes we want to quit a job or quit marriage or quit people or walk out on God. But even the word says right here, "I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith." I know that this is the theme of not just her life, but this needs to be the theme of our life. And so I wanted to encourage somebody this morning, don't quit. I'm going to tell you, say it out loud. Say, don't quit. I mean, the easiest thing to do is quit, right? Sometimes the easiest thing to do is walk away. But we've got to be reminded, don't quit. Don't give up. But it said, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race." Amen. So when we expire on this earth, that can be our theme scripture, that I've done everything that I know to do to finish my course on this life. I've done everything that I know to do to be me, to do what God has called me to do. I've kept the faith that there's laid up for me more in heaven than there ever was on earth. We'll receive more in heaven than we ever will here on the earth. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's a familiar scripture that I won't take the time to read, but I think of it just because of the dynamic of the text, and it comes out in Acts chapter 3. Some of you have heard me preach out of Acts 3. The particular text is dealing with the man who laid at the gate and lay lame. And the Bible says in Acts 3 that Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer to pray. And the man was laying there at the gate, and he had been lame since being born from his mother's womb. And the Bible says that lame man lay there. And he said to I'll summarize it, Peter and John, he said to them, he looked at them and he had a cup. Some of you might remember when I preached that he had a cup and he shook it and he was begging for just enough money to get by. And they looked at the lame man and they said to him, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then the Bible goes on in verse 7 and just says, "He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Immediately. Immediately. See, I believe that this can parallel well with what I was just sharing with you about you and I fighting the good fight, that God wants to encourage some of you to not give up. You may have been thinking about it. You may have considered it. It might have crossed your mind even recently. It might have caused you to want to shift your career or shift where you live and things like that. But God wants to remind some of you and I never to give up. See, the lame man was sitting at the gate to the temple expecting more of the same, expecting someone just to meet the need, never anticipating a miracle. But see, even in him not giving up, God had designed it in such a way that a miracle was what was on the agenda for him that day. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, sometimes we just come to church or we just enter into his presence or we wake up day after day and we expect our marriages to be the same, our job to be the same, our friends to be the same. And yet you and I need to not give up believing God that he is still a miraculous, miracle-working, all-powerful God, that he has the ability to turn some situations around. Are you hearing me? This lame man thought it was just going to be a normal Sunday morning when all the religious church people would walk over him and step over him as they walked into church. Hallelujah. Some of us know what it is to have people ignore you and step over you rather than deal with you. Amen. There are some people that some of us understand that rather than people deal with you, it's like they step over you, step around you, avoid you. But God wanted me, I'm telling you, I'd planned to share something else, but God reminded me of this morning. God wanted me to remind some of you that it doesn't matter if you've been ostracized or isolated or forgotten or any of those things, that you showed up today and someone decided not to talk to you, that God don't need them in order to give you a miracle. Notice God didn't use any of the other church people present, but he said, Peter and John said to him, "Silver and gold have I none," hallelujah, "but what I do have, in the mighty name of Jesus." Somebody needs to hear what I'm telling you. See, it doesn't matter how many people ignore us or overlook us. It doesn't matter if they don't like our gifting. It don't matter if they don't want to be our friend. It don't matter if our spouse isn't talking to us today. It don't matter if they're moody, glory to God, because some of y'all just get moody and cranky up in here. None of that matters. What God says is, in spite of your moodiness in the church, I can move and heal you outside on the sidewalk. And so the word of the Lord is to encourage you and I not to give up, but press on. I have fought the good fight. Keep fighting. Keep pushing. Even when you're in pain, keep pushing. Amen. Even when it's hard to still believe God, keep pressing to believe God. Still keep pressing to believe that he can do it, that he will do it, that he wants to do it. That's what God said. I love the text that it just took one man to give a word from him, even though everyone else stepped over him. One man, it took one man to give a word, and so said, I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you and I to believe that what we do have in the name of Jesus Christ is enough to set people free, to heal people, to deliver people. I hope you're hearing me and what I'm trying to tell you, that it is enough to do what God needs to do in our minds. I think sometimes we just say too much. Sometimes we're guilty of just preaching too long, Ramona. I'm trying to make y'all laugh. I preached long last week. But sometimes what we can do is you try to say too much, and God says, let's just keep it simple. These men of God said, I'm going to break it down for you. I'm going to keep it simple. I don't have money to you. I'm not going to enable you to stay the way that you are. The word of the Lord is God wants to interrupt your life in such a way that he's not going to enable your life to have to stay that way. This man was begging for just some change to keep getting by, to buy a little bread and to buy a little water to keep getting by. But God is such a God that he wants to be able to interrupt our life, interrupt our what we consider to be normal, to disrupt our normal. Hallelujah. And move in such a way that, like he did with this man, he said, but I need you to keep the faith. I need you to keep fighting. I need you to keep believing. See, it's easy to get frustrated. People frustrate me. Some of y'all irritate me. Some of y'all would make a man want to quit. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is we have to come back to the word of God and say, I fought the fight. I finished the race. I'm going to keep pressing on. See, some of you are laughing because you know you're the ones that make me want to climb the wall. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, it's good you can laugh. Hallelujah. I fought the fight. I finished the race. See, the lame man, he wasn't fighting as much as he was surviving. And there's a difference. God wants you and I to have such a belief in him that we're not believing him just to get by, that we'll dare to believe him to thrive and overcome, that we'll dare to believe him to get to where we need to go, that we'll dare to believe him for extraordinary things again. That's what I want you and I to believe for today. That's what I want you and I to believe for. I had you surrounded about, Brandon and Cindy, because I'm daring to believe for the extraordinary. Amen. That God uses all things. God will use loss. God will use death. God will use traumatic events. And I often say God's methods often look like madness. And we often struggle to try to comprehend and understand why God's doing what he's doing. But his methods often look like madness. He's the only one that takes chaos and can bring cosmos to it. He's the only one that can take what is out of order and bring it into order. So my challenge is that you and I would dare to believe God for more. Oh, dare to believe God for more. Hallelujah. For more. Not just enough to get by. Not just God help me to remove my pain, but God heal me at the very root. God, don't help my arthritis to let up today, but Lord, heal it at the very root. God, I thank you that every nerve and bone that is messed up, God, would be fused together in the way in which you created me to function in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that my hearing will operate according to how you created me to hear in the name of Jesus. I thank you that I'll see, God, just like you designed me to see with the eyes that you intended me to have. Amen. And on and on and on, that we'll dare to believe God for more, not shaking our cup, not wanting God, and not most of all, not wanting people to enable us to barely get by. just to keep living more of the same and living in our dysfunction. See, God wants to change you and I in such a way that we'll not live in our dysfunction, that we're not going to serve him in our dysfunction. Let me touch on that for a moment. Look at what the man did. He showed up at church. The church people stepped over him, but he showed up because he thought they were the people who would give to him the most. And so he made it a regular thing. So every time they showed up for prayer, he was there begging. Hallelujah. And instead of them for years, the Bible says he showed up like this. Instead of them praying a prayer of faith over him, they just stepped over him. They just ignored him. They just did their thing. Instead of believing that God is a healer the first time he showed up, or even the second time he showed up, for years that man stayed there. I want to tell you that I believe sometimes we show up to church and ask God for just enough to enable us, enable our dysfunction, to enable us to stay more the way we are. God, just relieve a little of the pain or a little of this discomfort. Sometimes we'll pray, God, just give me a little financial miracle. Because we don't dare to ask God for more. We are quiet. The truth matters, you'll pray for $20, but have you ever asked him for $20,000? Right? Have you ever asked him for the mother load? God, no, I know that you're able to do it. I'm just believing that you will do it in the name of Jesus. The same way with our healing, with our deliverance, there are people that we worship with that need delivered. There are people that we worship with that need healed. There are people that we worship with that need God to disrupt their dysfunctional living. And God is saying to you and I that sometimes it just takes one of us to have the faith to believe God and to disrupt our normal. Remember there several weeks ago, I gave you that word on no more normal, right? And yet we continue to just serve God normal. We continue to expect just normal. I'm telling you, God wants to disrupt our normal way of having church. He wants to disrupt your normal, boring worship. He wants to disrupt your normal prayer life. He wants to disrupt the way that we do church. That's why last week it was so different, because I believe that God wants to disrupt what we think church is and really have a divine encounter with him that there will be real change. What God did with that lame man is he disrupted their way of thinking of what church was. That was the first indication in Acts 3 that church can happen outside the walls. Hallelujah. Church can happen wherever I am. Church can happen wherever you are. An encounter with Jesus can happen wherever we are. A move of the Holy Ghost can happen wherever you and I are. That is the challenge, but it's important that you and I today do not give up. It's important that you and I stay encouraged, and you surround yourself with people that celebrate you and don't tolerate you. Oh, yeah. Surround yourself with people that celebrate you and don't just tolerate you. That is so important. It was something important I had to learn a long time ago, because sometimes we want to just be liked and loved by everybody. I don't need to be liked. I don't need to be loved by everybody. I'm just going to go where I'm celebrated. Hallelujah. Not just where you're tolerated. That will help you all the way. It will help you that you'll have cheerleaders in your corner helping to cheer you on when things get tough and things get tight. Amen. It'll help you to make sure that you get through, that you can press on and push through in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
My God, we're not going to give up. We're going to press on. Now, I'm going to challenge you, because I believe with all my heart that the reason I'm sharing this little mini message is because there's been people that have either been considering giving up, walking away in something in some area of your life. I don't care if it was a marriage or your faith has been rocky, or people or God. There's been times I've tried and wanted to walk away from the call. God says, don't give up. And I believe what you and I need to do is allow an opportunity for God to disrupt your normal. For him to show up like he showed up at the gate. Notice, the miracle didn't even happen necessarily on the steps. of the church. It happened at the gate. Now, I've preached about the gate before. The challenge is that you and I would dare to believe that God can do a miracle, that God can do the extraordinary for people that need a miracle. I don't care whether it's financial or physical or whatever. The reason I had you all gather around Brandon and Cindy is because I told his grandmother, I said, I am believing for a harvest at that funeral. And I knew it. And then to only leave there and go to the next home and to have someone look me in the eye and say, I have to get my life right because I have to make sure that I see Hazel again. I'm telling you that to tell you that as a church and as a people, you and I cannot give up because there are souls that are hanging in the balance. There are people that are watching you and I that we may not think. We may think that they don't consider us. And so there's more of a reason that you and I cannot give up because there's more to it. And so even though I have to leave and go be with this family as they go in for their first viewing alone, I'm telling you that God wants to help some people in this place like he did the lame man at the gate to say, I'll meet you where you are. I'll meet you at your place of dysfunction. I'll meet you where you thought you were coming to church just expecting to leave and to go back to a marriage that's dying. You thought you were going to come to church and just have an experience like you did, but God's wanting to be able to reach into our life and change what we thought would be normal and do something extraordinary, because the Bible says that once they gave him the word, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that his ankles grew strength. He was able to stand up and walk that very hour. I'm here to tell you that we still serve a God that does those kinds of things. And you don't need a preacher to do it. You don't need your favorite TV preacher. You don't need a special song being played on the Hammond organ. We don't need to have to be jumping and hooping. I'm telling you, he can meet you in a simple moment at a gate outside a temple and disrupt your normal.